Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Since Travis first mentioned church plant from up here, and then also at the last chapel family update, and then we had a church plant information night on a Sunday night. As a result of those communications and others, people have come to me to ask more about the church plant. And some, when they hear what's all involved in it, get excited and say, "We'll be praying for you," and they very much feel the role of sender. And others hear it and get excited and say, "Hey, really like to be a part of that." Just this last week, I was talking to a friend of mine who at first was excited to be a part of the church plant, then wasn't so excited when she heard and thought about the details of what was all involved, and then again became excited about being part of the church plant. There's actually been, that's been a track that more than one person has been on. I find myself on that track a little bit sometimes. But as she was telling her story, she said, "You know, I'm an introvert." And she knew after we'd spoke and she'd heard enough that the idea is we're going to go to the east side of Williamsburg and saturate the east side of Williamsburg with the gospel. And that we'll never be able to do that with like a staff going over there. That this will be the whole church, whoever's being sent, all feeling called to, as we follow Jesus, to share our story whenever he raises opportunity and to pray for opportunities. And she said, I'm an introvert and I just didn't want to do that. And then she said in her conversation, it actually made me sit up. I just thought it was so honest and true. She said, "I just didn't want to. I guess I wasn't believing. I guess I just didn't believe." I love the question, or actually her statement. And this idea that sometimes in our head we think, I can think that when I believe or decided to believe, that was a long time ago, rather than it's every day, all the time. Every time fear comes rushing in, and that is not just a long time ago, every time fear comes rushing in, there's this decision of, will I believe? Do I believe? And will I move forward with him? Or will fear drive me to some other response? And I find that they're never very far apart, that those moments of fear and questioning are never far away. In fact, that they're nothing to be ashamed of. The idea is I have a decision now to make. What will I say? What will I do next? Do I believe? In the text we read today, I think we see that in the very first two verses. That we only read five verses there, and how it begins is Jesus tells the disciples, he had already told them, "Hey, there's a mountain where I'm going to meet you at this mountain in Galilee. Go there. I'll meet you there." And so they believe and they go. And when they see him, it says They worshiped him. That makes sense, right? And then it says, but some doubted. Even the translation is disputed. Some scholars translate it, and they doubted. Either way, there's this question of, how can you see the risen Savior and worship? And at the same time, at least some among you are doubting. How does that happen? And I think, that's actually not a mystery to me. I know how that happens. That I believe and I follow after him, but it is not long, sometimes in the midst of worshiping, where doubt comes flooding in and causes us to hesitate. Matthew actually uses that word twice in his gospel, once right there, that word for doubt, once right there in the very last paragraph of his gospel. He also uses it in Matthew 14. I believe it's verse 31. It's when Peter is walking on water. In case you didn't hear me right, Peter was walking on water. That sounds like a euphoric situation. Like, man, you gotta be on a high when you're walking on water. But then what happens? Fear comes in. The waves and the wind, Jesus is right in front of him. He's walking on water. Jesus is walking on water. And he starts to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus extends the hand and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It doesn't make sense all the time why the doubts come. Fear actually isn't very rational. That's my experience. What I find is when it comes, it can cause us to hesitate. And we have to ask ourselves again, what do I believe? What do I believe? We're opening a new series. We've been moving along looking at kingdom, right? Kingdom's been the word all year. Now we're looking at kingdom mission. And what I want to ask you before we get into it is, what do we believe? Because the kingdom mission, which might be summed up best in these five verses as far as a summary anywhere in Scripture, and maybe here's the best summary of kingdom mission, and it's scary. It's scary. It's why they're hesitating. It's why they're doubting. What are they doubting? What's causing the doubt? They're looking right at Jesus, risen from the dead. But what else do they know? He was just crucified. And his enemies are still out there. In fact, the paragraph before, what we're told is they're busy spreading lies. Go tell everybody, they tell the guards this is their plan, that the disciples came while the soldiers were asleep. Not likely. Crazy lie, right? Decided the soldiers were asleep, punishable by death, but they all fall asleep, and stole the body. That's the lie that's already out there. There are enemies out there, and following a risen Savior might still cost them their lives. The kingdom mission has always been scary. It remains scary. But the question is, what do we believe? Is there a kingdom? Is there a king? Well, we know, right? His resurrection still speaks today. The king is risen from the dead. There is a kingdom, and it's his. And it's opposed to the kingdoms of this world. That the idea was in Matthew 4, Satan takes Jesus to the top of a mountain and tries to deter him from the path he knows God's calling him on. And he says, look from this mountain, Jesus, at all the kingdoms of the world, they're mine, and you can have them if you'll just worship me. No. Jesus is with the kingdom of God. And he's the king. And he has a kingdom and a kingdom mission. And I think we can sum up the kingdom mission with this. That the king, who has all authority, and that word Jesus is going to use four times. In the Greek, he uses the word all four times. That the king who has all authority on heaven and on earth, universal now, think expanding kingdom, it's all going to be his. The king who has all authority sends us to make disciples of all nations. That's the kingdom mission. And he gives it to all of us. That the king who has all authority sends us to make disciples of all people. When my kids come home from college, we like to go out to at least two different places. We've just been going there forever to these two places, and every time we go, we laugh, sometimes laughing about what we laughed about last time. Sometimes there's new things to laugh about, but always laughing. One of the places we like to go is any Japanese restaurant where they cook the food in front of you. Any Japanese restaurant will, they'll make that little onion thing volcano, and then they shoot oil all over that hot surface and then throw fire on it, and it flashes so big, like you can feel the heat. I'm still honestly wondering if that's safe. But it's fun, and it's fun to see, like, hey, who's pulling back from the heat when the fire flashes right in your face? Well, the last time we went, new friend, Brian, was serving us. So that's part of the fun too, right? Brian, or whoever's serving you, tells a lot of corny jokes, and there's pretty much an obligation to laugh at all of them. That's part of the fun. And we did have fun, and appreciated Brian. And about 2 days later, we went to the other restaurant that we always go to when the kids are home, and that's Peking. I'm a diabetic. That's a terrible place to go if you're a diabetic. But there are some things that aren't as bad, so we're going to go. This is for the family, right? It's for the kids. Let's go. So we go. When I went there, I saw Brian. Except this time he wasn't working there. He was eating there. And he was in line right in front of me at that kind of barbecue thing where you pick out all the meat and the vegetables and you give it to him. I think it's the healthiest thing there, if you're wondering. I think that's it. So don't add the sugar water. Are you kidding me? Why would sugar to everything. So we're cooking, and Brian's right in front of me. And I just start talking to Brian. Hey, Brian, you cooked for us the other day. Like, you know, appreciate it. Great job, and thanks. And we start talking, and where do you live? You live around here. And very quickly, the conversation got semi-serious. Just where Brian started sharing things that he's gone through, that were pretty intense, more intense than you might expect in the food line. And after we left, we went and sat down and was telling Karen and the kids, hey, I just saw Brian, and thought, I think I know Brian well enough. It won't be odd at all just to go up to Brian and invite him to church. So I did. I happen to have a card on me. I don't know how I never have cards on me, but I had a card on me, and it has the address. And I said, Brian, yeah, I don't know if you're interested, but love to have you come to church. If you come, like, please walk up front. It's kind of a big place. If you come in, I might not even know you're there unless you come up. And he said, nod. And he said, yeah, you know, I think I might be interested in that. And then he said, can you walk there? But nah, you probably can't walk there. You know, when we call to make disciples of all people, it means all people, all nations, all races, all socioeconomic statuses and classes. And in order to reach all people, I think we're going to have to be intentional about getting outside, maybe just where we are, Certainly, you're not going to show up at a nation accidentally. The idea, if we're going to go reach, if we're going to carry out this mission, we're going to have to be asking our Savior, how do we do it? And where do you want us to go? Because he's not calling us all to the same place, right? But he is calling and leading us all in this kingdom mission. So how do we start? Right, the King who has all authority sends us to make disciples of all people. How do you start a task that big? I think we can begin by praying. Let's just pray. We can all commit to this. We can do it in formal planned sessions. Claude already mentioned in the welcome that we do have a church plant prayer meeting that's beginning April 21st from 8:30 to 9:30 in the serve suite. That's not a real big room. You are all invited. I would love to have the problem of that room is too small to fit us all. It's not just for those who are going on the church plant. It's for all of us. The ones who are being sent cannot do this apart from those who are sending from right here. So we come together and we pray. But it doesn't have to be in a formal setting. It doesn't have to be just for the church plant or the east side of Williamsburg. Grab a friend or two and walk your neighborhoods and pray. What do we pray for? Well, how about we just start with the Lord's Prayer as we walk around our neighborhoods? Father, we pray that your will would be done here in this neighborhood, that we would be attentive to your will for us. What do you have for us in your kingdom mission here? Because the prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done. And as we're walking by houses and neighborhoods and friends and strangers, we're praying, Lord, do a work here. Build your kingdom here. Use me in any way you see fit to carry out your kingdom mission. And give me courage to move forward when it's scary. We can begin by praying. But he actually lays out some more details, Jesus does for us, right? As to what's involved. What do we do? How do we make disciples? If he's sending us to go make disciples, what does it look like? And I think he tells us at least some of what it includes, right? Making disciples includes baptizing and teaching. Baptizing and teaching. And boy, did we see some wonderful examples today, right? You know, why is, was it Colton? Quentin. Dang, forgot his name. I just heard it up there. That decision that he's so sure to follow, right? Was that not wonderful to watch? My wife leaned over to me during Quentin's testimony, and she said, I love Quentin. We don't know Quentin. This is so good to hear, right? This commitment that maybe even as we think about this kingdom mission, we realize that maybe there's a piece we've been missing. Maybe we really just haven't been sharing with those around us or praying for opportunities to share. I understand that conviction that when I look at Scripture, I see the kingdom mission being carried out a lot more in the sharing of faith, more than I see it in my life. That even right now, as we talk about making disciples and how it includes baptizing and teaching, that we can make a commitment that, Lord, I'm with you no matter where this takes us. I bet if I asked everyone to raise their hands, those who have been baptized, a lot of hands would go up. If, by the way, you believe, you surrendered your life to Jesus, and you haven't been baptized, I would encourage you, call the church this week and get scheduled to get baptized. It's actually not our idea, right? This is Jesus' idea right here. as Gail laid out, this is the beginning of the journey, this baptism. So if you haven't been baptized and you believe, please call and be baptized. If you have been baptized, I wonder how many of us have been baptized, accepted Jesus, decided we're going to follow him. How many of us made that decision without ever being asked if we wanted to? I'm guessing that maybe all of us at some point, somebody asked us, would you like to believe? Would you like Jesus to wash away your sins, to forgive you, to remove your guilt, and walk with you, satisfying you in a way you've never been satisfied, like Professor Liu talked about, right? Like I just couldn't keep it together, but I was going the wrong direction. I was on the wrong track. Like, didn't we all have this experience? And at some point, somebody asked us. When we talk about, okay, where's being sent as a community, but also as individuals to go baptize and make disciples, I think we have to get comfortable. Even getting skilled better at asking people. That when we talk to people because we care for people and we hear their stories of pain, we share with them our story of how Jesus walks with us in our pain. And we ask them, and whatever your words are, would you like him to forgive you, cleanse you, walk with you, be with you? Would you like Jesus to come into your life? If we're going to carry out the kingdom mission, I think we're all going to have to get comfortable with asking that question as he leads. Not too long ago, I had a friend of mine come up, and he actually knocked on my living room or dining room window when he saw me. It was in December. I hadn't seen Joe since August, around that time. But we had a brief conversation months earlier, and then he came up to my window and he knocked on it. And I'm turning, there's Joe, and I ran out there. I said, "Joe, it's so good to see you. Like, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, I knocked on the door. No one answered. So I went over there and I saw. I waited till I saw you. I didn't want to scare your lady, so I waited until I saw you." And I said, "Joe, I really appreciate it. I don't want you to scare my lady either." I think she would have been all right. Joe's not scary. But as we talked more, you know, I realized Joe was stuck. He was stuck in some really destructive habits. And I'm familiar with destructive habits. Are you familiar with destructive habits? There's a lot of people out there struggling with destructive habits. It's killing them. So Joe's sharing his destructive habit. And I said, "Joe, I know that feeling." I said, "Joe, I know how it leaves you filled with guilt and frustration. Jesus came into my life and he removed the guilt. And he freed me from those habits. Would you like him to come into your life and take away your guilt and free you from those habits as well?" And Joe sat there for a while and he said, "I thought I already did that." And I thought, "Well, Joe, that's wonderful. I didn't know you had done that. But can I tell you, Joe, that when you decide, when that temptation comes to take on that destructive habit again, whatever it might be, right? When you get that decision's coming, there are multiple voices going on in your head, but there's one that's his, and he's not leading you into that habit. So when you move into that habit, you're actually ignoring him. You're not believing him in that moment. But if you'll trust him, he'll show you another way out. I know. Because he does this for me. Would you like Jesus to do this? Would you like to recommit your life to Christ and trust him when that temptation comes again?" And Joe sat there for a minute and he said, "Couldn't hurt." So So we prayed. But then after someone, right, comes to faith, right, or a recommitment like that, there's this other question of making disciples. Okay, what does that look like? What does it look like to make disciples? I want to say there's some wonderful ministries here at the chapel in place for that. Right, probably the number one plan, the primary plan for making disciples here at the chapel is small groups. So when we meet someone who has been far from God and they've just decided, I want to come back, or they're considering it, that we invite them into a small group. There are wonderful mentor ministries here at the chapel. If you'd like to know more about that, go to the chapel website, click on Grow, and it'll be adult ministries there. You click on adult ministries, and you'll see small groups and mentored ministries. That everyone can get involved with these mentor ministries. I think we can all be getting mentored and mentoring others. They get people in that process. Those are wonderful ministries, and I recommend using them. However, I don't think they remove from us the responsibility of also discipling people. So that when I'm talking with Joe, there are a few simple things I can do, and we can all do them. I'm convinced we are all called to do them. Because we all have this kingdom mission. For one, I wanted to remind Joe of this verse. You may have a verse like it that you like, but 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I just want Joe to know, Joe, no matter what the enemy's telling you, and he's constantly spreading lies, that when you turn to Jesus and you're with him, you have nothing, ultimately nothing, to worry about. You have his life forever, eternal life. There is an assurance of salvation that you have. That's part of making disciples. I tell you what else we can do. We can all talk to the Joes of our world and tell them, you can pray. You can pray all the time, whenever you want. Well, what do I pray? Well, how about that Lord's Prayer that many of us memorized when we were a kid? Right, back in Matthew 6, right, that's in Matthew 2. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. But this is good. We can teach anybody this and encourage them to memorize this, that they can pray. Teaching them to obey all his commands. Wasn't one of his commands to pray constantly? Pray, pray. This is how you pray. Pray and don't give up. We teach all of his commands. Other thing we can do, all of us can do, open up a Bible with the person who has just decided we're going to follow again. I'm with Jesus. There's a SOS Bible study / devotions that we can all do. Open up any passage. I'd start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are pretty good for starting. And as we're reading it, a section, just what does it say? And what do I need to obey? And is there anyone with whom I can share this? I love that last piece. Because in this kingdom mission, we're told, teach them, the disciples, to obey all that I've commanded. That certainly includes this command that he's given to them right now, which is go make disciples, go share. You do not have to be a believer for 10 decades. That'd be a long time. 2 decades. You can be a believer for 2 minutes. Go out and start telling people you have a story. You've been saved. Go share your rescue story. For many of us, we look back on those first days and think, where's it gone? I shared a lot more in those first days than I actually do now. That's okay. We just recommit now to the kingdom mission. I tell you what, this is a commandment, a mission that Jesus gave from a mountaintop. But Satan likes to bring people up to his mountaintop too. And it's not just Jesus he tells lies to. He will tell lies to keep you from doing this. Not long ago, when I was realizing that I'm convinced he's calling me, he's calling Karen and I to this church plant. We're going to go to the east side of Williamsburg. We had actually already bought a house over there by the time that came clear there was a church plant going over there. Thought, I'm pretty sure we're going to be a part of that. And when I realized it's going to be so tied around saturating the east side of Williamsburg with the gospel, sharing our faith, this fear came on me pretty hard. I am going to be all alone. Nobody's going to want to do this. Everybody I talk to about this says they're uncomfortable. And every time when they say they're uncomfortable, they think they're the only ones who are uncomfortable. We are all uncomfortable with this. But the idea is he's calling us to it. And while Satan was saying and telling me, I am going to be all alone, Jesus says, I am going to be with you all days. That's the Greek. All days until the end of time. All. It's the fourth time in five verses. All authority. Go make disciples of all people. Teach them all that I've commanded. I'll be with you all days. He goes with us. We don't have to share with anybody except who our Lord Jesus Christ leads us to share with. However, he is the good shepherd. And he is the shepherd who, if he has a flock of 100 and one goes astray, he'll leave the 99 to go get the one. So as we follow him, he will lead us to go get the one. It can be scary, but there's no safer place to be. We simply follow the King on this kingdom mission as he calls, as he leads, as he protects. The promise is that the King is with us all days. The worship team is going to come forward now and lead us in one last song, a song of response. And some of the words in this song, which is called Build My Life, there's this call to Jesus, fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those all around me, to the people around me, that's what we're asking. That in this kingdom mission, the King leads, but he pulls us in. The King who has all authority sends us to make disciples of all people.